Good morning. It's Saturday, April 26th, and you're listening to The Radiator, 105.9 FM, WOMM LP in Burlington, Vermont. I'm Shayla Shapiro, your host for Write the Book, the show for writers and curious readers. Write the Book features interviews with authors, poets, illustrators, agents, and editors. Today, you'll hear a conversation with children's book author and illustrator Amy Huntington. Amy Huntington has been making pictures all her life. Having studied art in college, she first became interested in children's illustration when her children were young, and she was reading picture books to them. Ladybug magazine published her first illustrated story in 1996. One Monday, her first picture book was published by Orchard Books, Scholastic Inc., in 2001. Other books that Amy has illustrated include Three Lessons for Astaire the Bear, No English, Seagull Sam, and Grandma Drove the Garbage Truck. In March, I spoke to Amy at her farmhouse in Williston. I began by asking her about her background in art.
I actually went to college for art. I got a degree in art, and I got out of college and worked various jobs while showing in galleries when I could, or I just started off showing wherever I could show. And when I had young kids, that's when I became interested in.
Now, where did you go to college?
I went to three different colleges. I started off at Swain School of Design, which is a tiny college of 200 students down in New Bedford, Mass. Mm-hmm. And from there, I got married and went to University of Florida. My husband was from Florida. And that was a huge school. And then I ended up at the University of Vermont for my last year.
Oh, okay. Where are you from?
I'm from Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. And when you started showing in galleries, where were you living?
I was living in Vermont.
Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, you work in watercolor and gouache, colored pencil, and woodcut.
Mm-hmm.
Did I miss anything?
Oil paints.
And oil paints,
mm-hmm.
Right.
Sometimes acrylic.
So when you are starting to work with a given project, how do you choose which medium you'll work in?
Well, I typically, for illustration, I mostly work in watercolor. It's quick. It's one I'm very comfortable with at this point. The woodcuts I love to do just for a change. I tend to do those for myself, although I've done them for design projects before, t-shirt designs, mm-hmm. and some posters.
Right.
Yeah, I typically work in watercolor, and the watercolor I combine with colored pencil and gouache.
I saw when we were in your studio earlier that you start with pencil,
mm-hmm.
or is that just to lay things out for yourself? And then when you start working in watercolor, do you do a little pencil sketch first? Or?
I often do. If I'm doing a job, I do. If I'm doing just a piece for myself, I often work right onto the watercolor paper,
okay.
with pencil first. But when I'm working on a job, I typically do a sketch on a piece of paper, and then I trace it on a tracing table onto the watercolor paper once I have something that I'm happy with.
Now, you do greeting cards.
I've tried to do greeting cards.
Oh, okay. I saw some greeting cards somewhere on the
yeah.
web that you've
yeah.
done. And I saw that you had done some alphabet cards for a school.
I have a friend who just started her first year of teaching, and I've known her since she was three, and she's always wanted to be a teacher, so I've been doing those cards for her. I'm not done yet, but it's a long process. There's a lot of letters in the alphabet.
That's wonderful. That's great. Your illustrations strike me as very, very colorful, but also very soft at the same time. And I'm curious if you consciously plan the composition and use of color in your paintings and your illustrations, or do these aspects come together sort of as you work?
I think it's probably a combination. Certainly there are some color choices that you make consciously, but I think the more you work, the more of that becomes intuitive.
Of the books that you've worked on, do you have a favorite one or two?
Probably the one that I wrote I enjoyed the most. And also because that was the first book that I published, so that was a very exciting time to actually... It took me about 8 or 9 years to get my first book published, so...
And that was One Monday?
That was One Monday, yes.
Now, is that going to be coming out in print again? Or I noticed that that's out of print right now.
It's out of print. I've gotten the rights back to it, and I would love to get it published again.
Yeah. Do you have any plans to write another of your illustrated books?
Yes, I have written and illustrated many, always working, trying to get one. I think that when my first, when One Monday first came out, or when I first submitted it, was a time when the picture book market was very good, and it's a little less good right now. Mm. So it's a little harder to get a picture book published.
Are there a lot more people working in this industry? Is that why? Is the competition stiffer? Or
I think it's the economy more than
economy?
Anything, yeah. Mm. I think it sort of comes in waves.
Yeah.
So.
Your the faces of the characters within these books that you've illustrated are very realistic. I'm curious how you do that. How do you manipulate watercolor, which, you know, is, I would think it's kind of hard to make that a detailed face.
Well, part of the, I think part of it is that I have to have a face that I'm working with, a specific face. So I do collect a lot of pictures of faces. I take pictures, I collect out of the newspaper and magazines. As far as getting the detail, I use a lot of really tiny brushes.
Is that where the colored pencils come in too? I mean, do they help you?
I don't use the colored pencils on the faces so much, but I really, that's my favorite part of the picture, is the expression on the faces, so I spend a lot of time on that.
Yeah, I think that must be really hard, but they look great. They're so expressive, each face.
Well, and I've talked to other illustrators before who do the whole picture and do the face last, and because they want the rest of the picture to look just right. And for me, I do the faces first, because the faces have to be right. And if they aren't right, then I would start over again.
I would think that it would be very frustrating if the face didn't come together and you'd already done the whole painting.
Yeah, that's the way I feel.
And so, along the same lines as that last question, the personalities of the characters you illustrate do really come through. When you first paint a character, what other than the text might you draw on for inspiration? Now you just said you take pictures.
I do. I think it's, for me, developing a character is a lot about just doing it. And I think it's probably the same with writing, just sort of putting your butt in the chair and doing it. And I have to actually be sitting with the paper in front of me, and I have to start doing scribbles, and I have to start getting the character's face down. Mm-hmm. You know, if I really get stuck, I mean, I do need to take a break, or I need to get out some other illustrators who I admire and look mm-hmm. at their work and get some inspiration. But the expressions on the character's faces and just getting everything right is really a matter of just doing it, I think.
In some of the characters, I would think it becomes a little more clear early on what their features will be. In No English, the main character, one of the main characters, is Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
And so you sort of already know what the coloring direction would be. But then right. I'm always curious, too, you know, when you have a character that isn't described, how do you decide, is this person going to be a redhead? Is this person going to be...
Well, I think you really try to mix it up.
Yeah.
And I do try to just have a variety. And that's why I think I have to collect pictures of faces, because it's really hard just to have those varieties in your head. It's nice to have pictures to look at to give you the individual faces mm-hmm. so that they aren't looking generic.
And when you do look to other illustrators for inspiration, or just people that you whose work you admire, who might you be?
I have a very wide range, and I collect a lot of picture books. One of my favorites probably is Janet Stevens. When I was growing up, there weren't a lot of picture books. You know, I think just it was at Where the Wild Things Are came out in 1963. I was just looking that up before you came, and I was born in 56, so I was almost over the age of, you know, that book appealing to me. And so some of my favorite books were had some of the illustrators like N.C. Wyeth. I love N.C. Wyeth.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur Rackham. There were just a whole bunch of the Peter and the Peter Rabbit, some mm-hmm. of the illustrations from Peter Rabbit. So I think those, as a kid, were some of my favorite illustrators. I've always loved Steve Johnson, who's more current. And
do you find that you can draw inspiration from illustrators who have a very different style.
Oh, definitely,
from your own. Yeah.
Definitely. In fact, I find that that's a plus sometimes, just sort of stretching your where you're going with your illustration, looking at other people's work.
How long are you likely to sit and work on something without needing to get up and move around and get away from it?
Procrastination. I probably work for about an hour and then I take a break.
Yeah.
Whether it's to go look at the computer in the summer, I'll just go walk around the yard and look at the gardens for 5 minutes, and I really have to do that physically and mentally, just to stretch and have a break.
Now, you live on a farm, mm-hmm. and you have a lot of animals.
Mm-hmm. And you hear the one ringing the bell at the door.
Is that her way of
That's
saying
the cat,
she
yes.
wants to come in? That's great. I don't know if the recorder picked that up, but the cat is ringing the bell to come in. And you have a lot of hens.
Yes.
And what else do you have?
That's it.
Okay.
Fish.
Yeah. So do you draw all of these animals that are around you all the time?
Definitely. In fact, the hens were really the inspiration for One Monday. Mm-hmm. And we had not been living in this house too long when I wrote that story, and just thinking about this farmhouse. It's very windy here, and the story is about a windy week on Annabelle's farm. So, the stories are the chickens are definitely an inspiration, and the cats.
I'm trying to remember, are your books located in a certain place, or is it just left nameless? Is it Vermont?
It doesn't say Vermont, no.
No. Okay.
No. Although Annabelle, who's the main character, was the last woman in a family who bought this farmhouse in 1916.
Oh,
so she was the last one of that family who lived here.
Oh, okay. Next to your barn are many, many, many yellow flags.
Mm-hmm.
The kinds of flags that are used for invisible fencing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw them, I assumed that those had to do with the war in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you could talk about that a little bit.
My husband we both were frustrated that the war had been going on for a while. This was back last November, 2 Novembers ago. And we felt like it was sort of getting lost in the media, that the media wasn't really focusing on the fact that so many people were dying in Iraq. And so he really wanted to do something to sort of just bring that to people's attention and make people think. And so it's been a wonderful project because we go out there and pull up all those flags and replant them every time we mow the lawn.
Oh my gosh.
And we found that, first of all, there was a state rep who lives up the street who organized through the local papers some people to come and help us replant the flags every week. But also, we found that if we were out there doing that people would stop and just offer to help and say that, you know, they'd been driving by and wanted to know about it and wanted to, you know, liked the idea and wanted to help. So.
And you have one flag for each soldier who's
yes.
died in
mm-hmm.
Iraq?
Mm-hmm.
And do you keep them up to date every week?
In the winter, not so much because the ground is frozen.
Right.
But,
So you'll
so every
be adding
weeks.
To them soon.
Yes. I think it's gone over the 4,000 mark mm-hmm. now, so. He originally ordered 4,000 of them, never thinking that he'd use them all.
Right,
so.
Right. When you drive toward your house, when one drives toward your house, they're very eye-catching and they flutter in the breeze and mm-hmm. they're bright yellow. And at mm-hmm. first, actually, they're really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get closer and you start to wonder, what is that? And, you know, it hit me what it was. And it's really quite intense to think about what that represents, you know,
yeah.
really... puts the number out there in some other form than just a single digit on black and white. Now another art form that you pursue, you spin your own wool.
Mm-hmm.
And where do you get your wool? From another farm, obviously. You don't have sheep.
All different places. I go to the wool festival in the fall, which is in Essex, and I get online and look around, see who's local, see who I can mm-hmm. find wool from.
Is that, that's a very different craft? Is that sort of more mindless and
Yes, it's
pleasant.
Yeah, it is. It's very zen. It's very calming.
And then you have felted people that you create.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about those?
Those have sort of influenced what some of my faces look like, I think. I just came upon that one day. I came upon some wool sculpture at a yarn store, and I sit with my sharp little needles and raw wool and just sort of started sculpting these faces. They're sort of busts of face with the shoulders and sometimes some arms, and it's also very calming.
You have a collection of these wonderful felted people, their, you know, faces and the busts. Do you sell those, or are they just for you?
I don't sell them. No. I haven't. I've considered it, but I found that the ones I wanted to sell were the ones that I really didn't like that well, and the other ones I didn't want anyone else to have.
Yeah, it's not like you can keep a print of them the way you can with
right,
your own work.
Right.
Going back to illustration, do you have favorite illustration techniques? And I think I mean outside of the media that we've already discussed, as far as, I know you can do some masking in watercolor. Do you ever do that? Or
I really don't. I haven't ever gotten comfortable with that. So I tend to use very antiquated, just sort of put the watercolor on the paper.
Do you ever project an image onto paper?
No, I've never done that.
It's just you're looking at something and painting
yeah.
it. Can you talk a little bit about how you might integrate the computer into what you do on paper?
I use the computer to sort of fine-tune some of the pictures that I've worked on. If I want to post a picture on my website, I'll use the lasso tool to draw around a figure, for instance, so that I can delete the background and just have the figure. If I'm doing some black and white line work, I can go in and just delete any bleeps in there that I don't like. I can take an eraser and erase out the lines that I don't want.
So how do you get your illustration into the computer?
I have a scanner.
Okay.
And
so
I've just invested in a huge scanner, major bucks, to accommodate 11 by 17, which is great. It's worth every penny.
Sure, because I imagine a lot of the work you do for publishers has to be larger.
It does, and a lot of the publishers now are expecting you to have to scan everything yourself. They don't want the original art anymore. So I have to scan the work myself and give it to them on disk or send it to an FTP site to them, which can be a lot of work because it does take time to get all the colors right and to sort of clean everything.
Mm-hmm. And you were mentioning that you have a drawing pad
mm-hmm.
that hooks into the computer.
Mm-hmm.
How do you integrate your illustration on the computer into that tool? Do you import it?
So I scan it in the scanner and get it. I pop it right up on my screen in Photoshop,
mm-hmm.
and I work on it in Photoshop.
Okay, so the drawing pad interacts with Photoshop.
It does, yes.
Okay, that's neat. Anything else on the computer that comes to mind?
I took a Photoshop class this last fall, which was really helpful. And so at some point I would like to try doing some drawing or combining. And what I like about Janet Stevens' work is that she does a combination of, she imports some photographs and different work that she's done, and she combines it on the computer.
Oh, okay.
In a computer image. And it's really nice because it is a combination of the real painterly style that she works in, but also combined with some computer techniques, which is neat.
Oh, yeah. It's opening up, I'm sure, a whole new aspect of illustrating.
It really is. And some of the educational publishers, that's what they want, is they prefer sometimes the digital work over other work. I think because it translates to different sizes much more easily, and it's a little more flexible in some ways.
Do you have a favorite character of your own invention?
Probably the sheep that I showed you, partly because I've worked on those really hard to try to get to come up with a character that I'm happy with. I also have a character of a basset hound that I've played with a lot, and I love basset hounds,
mm-hmm.
and they're just really fun to draw.
They're really expressive.
Yes.
The big sad eyes.
Yes.
I love that your sheep are knitting.
Uh-huh.
I think that's
uh-huh.
great. And there was one sort of cartoon on your website that showed a couple people who were sort of scratching their bald heads, and
yes,
next to them their
yes,
sheep was knitting.
Yes.
I thought that was fun. What was that for? Is that
there is a site online called Illustration Friday, and every week they send us a word that is the word of the week that we illustrate, and I sort of forget what the word was for that, but that was for one of their, and we post it so that you can access it from their site.
And is that meant to be a place that you can find exercises to get you going, or is that just...
Yeah, it is kind of. I think it's kind of a inspiration of the week, so that, you know, sort of to get your brain moving. And
so it's not a contest story.
It's not a contest. A lot of people do it, and you can just go in and look at, you know, click on to everyone's blog who's done the picture of the week, and you can leave comments, and they'll leave comments on your site as well.
And speaking of blogs, I should mention you have a great website, and it's www.amyhuntington.com, and you have a blog in there.
Yes.
It tends to be more of a pictorial blog.
Yes.
Which is appropriate. So, great. What you mentioned Where the Wild Things Are. Do you have other favorite books as a child?
I have a book that I still have that was probably my all-time favorite, and it was a collection of Andersen fairy tales. And those collections would typically have one color plate illustration for each story. And, you know, that is a well-worn copy of stories.
Mm-hmm. Were you inspired to become an illustrator through books and pictures, or did it happen, you know, later when you were in high school and you had a particularly inspirational art teacher? Or
I did have a very inspirational art teacher, but my dad is also an artist, not professionally, but always as a pastime. And my grandmother was one of the first female greeting card designers in the Boston area.
Oh.
She was born around 1900, and so she would have been working in the 20s. 30s, 40s. So she was definitely an influence as well.
Do you have her work?
I do. I have some of her greeting cards.
Oh, great.
And some of her work that she did in college. And she did some, I have some etchings of hers hanging around also.
What was her name?
Dorothy Huntington.
So what are you working on now? You mentioned that you're working on a book.
I'm working on a book about a sheep right now who doesn't want to be shorn. And, that's all I'll say about that, because I have sort of like to keep that to myself until I've got the whole thing done. But and I'm working on the alphabet cards, which I would also like to publish. And I'm not really sure where I'm going to go with those yet.
When you work as an illustrator for a publisher that has another author, do they come to you with the text first?
Yeah, I basically just get the text on a sheet of paper, and so it's left up to me where I want to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
I break up the text, decide what I'm going to illustrate on each page, and once the sketches are done, once the sketches are done, I'll send those back to the editor or the art director, and they have comments that they'll make. And with the smaller publishers, I find that they also will send them to the author, so the author will give feedback as well. And I give feedback to the author, too, as far as editing, if there are things that I think should be changed a little bit to gel better with the pictures.
Now, you have an art representative.
Mm-hmm.
Does that work come through that person usually, or do the publishers come directly to you? Or?
She represents me for all of the children's illustration that I do.
So what advice generally do you have for people who want to be illustrators?
As far as being children's book illustrators, I think my first bit of advice would be to get a good background in fine art in general, a degree in an art school, especially one where it doesn't have to be a noted art school, but just one where you have someone that you can connect to, a professor in the field that you can connect to. And then I think it's just a matter of really doing your research and, you know, checking out what publishers are out there, what they're publishing, what kind of illustration they're looking for, and sort of, you know, at the same time you're working up your own style and what kind of illustration, what kind of niche you fall into as an illustrator. And really just spend a lot of time looking at children's books,
mm-hmm.
children's illustration.
My last question about writing is there any certain exercise or activity you turn to when you need a little spark of inspiration?
It sort of depends on what I'm doing. I do a lot of educational work. which would be books like readers that specifically schools will buy. And that kind of work has very tight deadlines, and so I really just have to sit down and do it. And my inspiration is just the fact that I'm sitting there doing it. But for other work, I really think most of my inspiration comes from two things. One is looking at other art, mm-hmm. whether it's other illustrators or other artists who I admire. Looking through books, looking through magazines, going online. The other thing that I think is also very good is just to get away from it. And I've really liked traveling lately now that my kids are grown. And I think just going out and seeing different places and different people and taking pictures, and that is very much an inspiration mm-hmm. for my work.
Well, I want to thank you very, very much for talking with me today. Well,
thank you.
And we'll keep our eyes open for your book, Matthew and Tall Rabbit Go Camping by Susan Meyer, which is coming out in April.
Thank you very much.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Amy Huntington. Next week, tune in at the same time to hear the first half of an hour-long interview with Chris Bojalian, author of 12 novels, including his latest, Skeletons at the Feast. Here's the Bookworm's calendar for the coming week. Author Jean Connor leads a Flying Pig Writers in the Loft writing workshop, The Poet's Eye, Two Ways of Seeing, on Saturday, April 26th, from 1 to 4 p.m. Food writer Tracy Medeiros will read and serve up samples from her book, Dishing Up Vermont, at Phoenix Books and Cafe in Essex on Saturday, April 26th at 2 p.m. Harvard professor and Bowling Alone author Robert D. Putnam discusses civic engagement in a diverse and changing America on Monday, April 28th at 7 p.m. at the UVM Campus Center Theater. Poet and teacher Angela Patton will read from her latest collection of poems, Reliquaries, on Thursday, May 1st from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Kellogg Hubbard Library in Montpelier. UVM Professor Sarah Turner discusses book clubs and gender at Middlebury's Isley Public Library on Thursday, May 1st at 7 p.m. On another note, tonight at 10 p.m., the Echo Center hosts WET, a party underwater. This concert will feature, among other things, local radio stations conducting live on-air broadcasts and artist interviews. Before I sign off, I just want to say the views expressed on this program are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WOMMLP, its management, board, any of its affiliates. This has been Write the Book. I'm Shayla Shapiro, and you're listening to The Radiator, 105.9 FM, WOMMLP, in Burlington, Vermont.
I love struck Romeo, sing the streets a serenade, laying everybody low with a love song that he made. Playing the streetlight, steps out of the shade, says something like, you and me, babe, how about it? Juliet says, hey, it's Romeo, you nearly give me a heart attack. He's underneath the window, she's singing, Eli, my boyfriend's back. You shouldn't come around here, singing up at people like that. Anyway, what you gonna do about it? Juliet, the dice was loaded from the start, and I bet, and you is loaded in my heart, and I forget the movie song. When you gonna realize it was just that the time was wrong? Juliet, on different streets, they both were streets of shame, both dirty, both mean, yes, and the dream was just the same. And I dream your dream for you, and now your dream is real. How can you you look at me as if I was just another one of your deals. When you can fall for chains of silver, you can fall for chains of gold, you can fall for pretty strangers and the promises they hold. You promised me everything, you promised me thick and thin, yeah. Now you just say, oh, Romeo, yeah. You know, I used to have a scene with him, Juliet. When we made love, you used to cry. You said, I love you like stars above. I love you till I die. There's a dream for us. You're on a movie song. When are you gonna realize it was just that the time was wrong? Juliet. Can't do the talk, so like the talk on the TV.